This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Good Monday. What a terrible weekend if you're an Arizona sports fan. I mean, just, dreadful. The baseball on Friday and Saturday nights was not good. There were some individual moments, I guess, if you're one of those that wants to look for silver linings. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers just whacked the Diamondbacks around like they were a team that won 60-some-odd games last year. That's what they look like. They look timid. They look like they were going down their leg. It's not what you want. And so tonight we have Game 3. And Pedro Gomez will be with us in about 15 minutes. ESPN baseball analyst insider Pedro Gomez, Valley resident. He has seen this series. He has seen these two teams. And can the Diamondbacks come back? Is this going to be a pool party tonight for the Dodgers? Again, even though Dave Roberts says they have bigger things than jumping in a pool. I like that quote from him. It was classy. The Cardinals were just, if you were to look at the Cardinals' season, and what drives me crazy about the NFL is how we sit here year-round and analyze everything that's going on and try to make it sound like this is going to be the best thing ever. It doesn't matter if it's print, doesn't matter if it's on the air, doesn't matter if it's on TV. Year-round, the NFL has to be covered. At least people think it has to be covered. It ends up just becoming a hype machine rather than just let the story tell itself. And when you tell me in the offseason how great John Brown's going to be or how great this guy is going to be and how awesome and amazing they're going to be out on the field, and they're not, they're just not good. The Cardinals, here's breaking news. It's not just yesterday at 34-7. They're very lucky that they're not sitting here winless. Go back and look at the Colts game. Go back and look at the 49ers game. Thing about the NFL is I've seen lots of teams, and you can even go back to the Super Bowl team of the Cardinals. I've seen lots of teams that are not good in September and not good in October and start to figure it out around the first part of November or late October, and they become a team that finds their footing and they get into the postseason. They go on a bit of a run. See it year after year, a team that early in the season's not good. And a lot of that is a byproduct of how the NFL's just set itself up. Owners have set themselves up for trying to protect players. Star players don't practice. There's not enough practice time to the regulars, the first stringers, because you guys keep paying to go see bad football in August and think that it's real. And the owners know that, so they're going to rip you off. So September really becomes more of training camp, and then guys get hurt because they're not in shape. And October becomes a little bit better. In the case of your hometown heroes yesterday in Philadelphia, it was 21-0 before you knew what happened. Here's the bigger part of this. Philadelphia has hope. Philadelphia has hope because they are young. And yes, this is going to be aimed at Carson Palmer, who's not played terribly. He has nobody in front of him. But the people that I go in circles with, the people that buy tickets as casual fans, even some of the diehards say, where is this going in 2017 and 2018 and beyond? You go to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia went through their tough spell of finding the quarterback of the future who's going to be there an awful long time. We're here with a roster that has some very good names to keep people interested and guys that are still very productive. I mean, if Carson Palmer, is he still productive enough to win games? Sure he is. Larry Fitzgerald, very productive. Carlos Dansby, trying to stick around, get it done, help out, leadership, and still play at a high level of football. I get it. There's going to be guys like Frosty Rucker, and there's going to be vets. You have to have vets up and down your roster. But those are just merely more or less stopgaps for the inevitability of trying to go through a major overhaul and rebuilding like the 49ers are doing. San Francisco is going to break through eventually. They lost another close game. They keep losing close games. They're close. This situation here is just merely the team's not good. Maybe they get it turned around. Maybe they do. But it's not a team that's going to the Super Bowl. And that's the ultimate goal. Instead, it's a team that it's going to be lucky to make the playoffs. Fortunately, if you go up and down the NFC, there's just lots of mediocrity, lots of bad teams, not anybody who jumps out. So, yeah, it takes just getting hot at the right time. It takes just beating Tampa Bay this week at home. And let's just forget about what happened in Philadelphia. Well, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. So it's one of the worst showings that I've seen out of the Cardinals. And I DVR'd it. You know, I watched it back once really fast, go through it, made some notes, watched it back a second time and said, okay, that's 40 minutes of my life. I'm never going to get back because there's not much that's changed. The special teams have not been good for a few years now. And for some reason, the Cardinals don't want to change it. Bruce Arians did the final act that a coach does to try to get through to a team and said, it's on my fault. It's my fault. We weren't ready to play. That falls on me. And then there's going to be those of you that give me, well, it was a 10 a.m. start. And that's excuse making. That doesn't cut it. The offensive line has been offensive. Their last two first round picks haven't done much of anything before this season. I'm talking about DJ and Kimdiche. So, you know, I can go on and on this. The bigger overarching story nationally continues to be the national anthem. It just does. You know, Mike Pence decides to go to a Colts game and walk out because a knee was taken by the 49ers. That's called grandstanding. Now, I don't get political much on this show, but come on. Anybody with a pulse, hey, let's go see the Colts play the 49ers. It's Peyton Manning's weekend. Mike Pence was in Indiana. Mike Pence known well in Indiana. They put the statue up for Peyton Manning. Mike Pence decides he's going to go to the game. So he goes the game, they take a knee, he's out of there, he bolts. You can't tell me it's not grandstanding. Really, they took a knee. Shocking. That's all the 49ers have done. So this anthem debate continues. And if you don't want to hear about it, then you're not really paying attention to the national narrative here. Politics and sports. People say, keep my sports out of politics. I don't know. That was a political yesterday that walked out right in the middle of a sporting event. Not even the middle, in the beginning of. So sports and politics do mix. Deal with it. It's just very unfortunate that you're going to choose to go to an NFL game that Peyton Manning's going to be honored at. As the former governor, now you're the VP of our country. And you decide, I'm going to walk out, and I'm going to show my own sign of protest. I'm not going to raise my fist. I'm just going to get up and walk out. And politically, yeah, that played well to the base. There are lots of people yesterday that I saw on social media. I'm the same with him. I don't watch. Yeah, there's lots of reasons why the NFL numbers are down. If you guys have watched this show longer than a few weeks, you know full well I'm not a fan of where the direction of the league has been going the last several years. Not just the last year, it's the last several years. This is one that they cannot explain away. You cannot buy your way out of this one. On the college football front, this is a really interesting week for Todd Graham, and I'd say for Rich Rodriguez. U of A had a win up at Colorado on Saturday that not many people were probably paying attention to. Because you had so many other things going on, a busy weekend. But Khalil Tate, the running back for U of A, set a single game record of 327 yards. 327 yards for a quarterback rushing, not throwing, running. And it doesn't matter to me that Colorado's not what they were last season. I think there's a coach that's been under fire for stuff off the field up in Boulder. Mike McIntyre's that guy. They weren't good. They didn't know how to tackle. U of A spread the field out. Rich Rod's got two quarterbacks. Pretty sure Rich Rod's going to say all week long, yeah, we're really not sure who we're going to play. We'll have to wait and see how Brandon feels. And, of course, Khalil's back there. And U of A has UCLA this weekend. So Josh Rosen goes to Tucson. It's interesting to me. Very interesting. Todd Graham is in a great spot to silence everybody. You have the fourth-ranked team in the nation coming into Arizona this week. You have the Washington Huskies. Well, Brock Heard with us later on in the week on the show. Always good to catch Brock up with Brock from ESPN in Seattle. and of course does the national stuff too. So ASU has been off for a week. Because the Cardinals were so bad and the Diamondbacks, look, do you see three wins in a row coming out of that team the way they're playing? I don't. You can have hope. It's fine. I'm not bashing on them. It's just fact. The Diamondbacks have been run over in two games. So I'm starting to look ahead here saying, what do we have going for us? Okay. So ASU wins over Oregon, and there's some that just jumped up and down and said, see, you should be more support. No, I'm not. I'm not here to cheerlead. It was, Oregon's not great. Washington's really good. And when you have Washington come here this Saturday, if Todd wants to put something on his resume, he's not had a signature victory. I would not call Oregon a signature victory a couple weeks back. Beat a team that's ranked in the top five in the nation at home on a national platform like they're going to have this week, ESPN 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Win that game, and suddenly you're going to shut up a lot of people. And it's the death march schedule for ASU. Go look at who they have after Washington. It's not easy. So the next few weeks are going to be fun. And we'll get into that as the show moves along as well. But up next, Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball insider and analyst on the Diamondbacks and Dodgers. That's next. And now let's turn our attention to the big ballpark, where tonight the Diamondbacks try and stay alive after just being putrid over the weekend in Los Angeles. Will there be a pool party tonight? Dave Roberts says no, but anybody who can control Yasiel Puig is a better man than I'll ever be. All that aside, here's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, insider. I use the term putrid around the hometown nine. Am I being too harsh?
I mean, they haven't played good baseball, but... you know, they had to really tear down everything they wanted to do against the Dodgers in order to get past the Rockies.
Yep.
And that kind of has thrown everything out of whack, I think, because if you have a rested Robbie Ray starting game one, you have a chance. You know, Taijuan Walker, the game was almost over in the first inning. It very well may have been from a psychological standpoint. So it just... getting past the Rockies, and you do whatever you have to do to win that day. That's what the postseason is all about. It's about desperation on any given day because the wins, are so valuable and you need so few. So I think it just threw everything off balance.
Okay, so if Greinke goes six against the Rockies with a 6-0 lead, Ray doesn't come into the game likely, right? And then we don't have any discussion
Correct.
Of this. Instead, Greinke goes 4 1/3, can't even get out of the fifth. And now we are having this discussion. So I guess I'm watching Zach Greinke melt down last Wednesday night with a 6-0 lead and thinking, this is the beginning of the end. I'm not saying I'm right. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure this out. But Greinke cost them, Pedro. I don't think there's any other way to put it.
No. I mean, when you look at it from looking at it from an overview, not as a fan, just as looking at it objectively, that definitely hurts. There's no doubt about it because you've got your number one guy going, and it's a 6-0 lead. It's not like it was 1-0 or, 0-0 at that point, and, you're just pouring everything in. It's 6-0, and you're the ace. So that there's no doubt. I mean, Robbie Ray should not have seen the field that day. And that's what you get paid to do at that salary when you're the number one guy. It's kind of like Chris Sale in game one for Boston. He did not show up.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Kluber for the Indians. They ended up winning the game because it went into extra innings, but Corey Kluber did not do his job. So it's not just Zach Greinke who's suffering from this syndrome right now in terms of aces, but other clubs have other means of winning games and deeper rosters and things like that. The Diamondbacks really, really needed Zach Greinke to show up in game one, and he just didn't.
Okay, so does this reflect poorly then on Patrick Corbin? Because Patrick Corbin has been out of sight and out of mind, and if you're up 6-0, and if Zach Greinke is struggling, you figure, I just got to get through this game, but I'm not going to touch Robbie Ray. Unless Torrey Lovello looks at his bullpen and says, I don't trust these guys enough after 4 1/3 to get me through all of this. And I understand, the art of managing, Pedro, using Chafin early against Blackman in the fourth inning or fifth inning, that's what you've got to do to advance. I get that. But I guess it speaks to...
Yeah, you got to get out of that inning right there.
Sure. But it speaks to no confidence, really, in Corbin, right?
Well, it's not a good sign, there's no doubt. And, you know, Brad, what I was told is that the computer decided Taijuan Walker should start game one. And that there were some scouts within the organization who wanted Patrick Corbin to go game one against the Dodgers. So here's again where, you know, new age baseball and older school baseball, there's a conflict, and you know, the computers are going to win more times than not nowadays. And we saw what happened with Taijuan Walker out there, and, you know, it was not good. After one inning, you're in a 4-0 hole against the best roster in the National League. So, you know, that's not good, Brad.
How about the Iannetta not starting, the decisions by Torrey on game one in L.A., Lamb not starting, Iannetta not starting? Where are you at on that one?
Again, these are decisions that, look, in this day and age, the manager is not fully responsible for the lineup. And that's just the reality of the age of baseball where we are. The computer dictates a lot of times the lineup. And the lineup dictated that Mathis should go and that Lamb should not go and Iannetta should not go and, you know, Rosales should go. And that's just the reality of the day and age where we are. There was a time not that long ago where the manager had 100% control of the lineup. But those days are gone. Mm-hmm. Those days are gone. And the computer, like I said, Brad, more often than not, dictates your lineup.
Okay, did I?
And you know what I mean by that.
Sure.
The new, you know, the sabermetrics, the statistical analysis, but that's what dictates.
But I've also heard Iannetta and Taijuan Walker are not the best of teammates. That's what I've heard. Now, I don't know if that's what you've heard.
No, and there's truth to that. Look, back in the day, Greg Maddux Javi Lopez, who was the Braves' first-string catcher, he did not like the way Javi Lopez caught, so therefore Eddie Perez was always Greg Maddux's catcher.
Yep.
You do want the pitcher to feel as comfortable as possible. And that's not new to the game. That is something that has gone on in the game for a while.
Okay, so tonight, Greinke, Pedro, if Greinke doesn't pitch well tonight, is this it for Greinke in Arizona? I know he has the big contract, and I know he had a terrific regular season. But you and I also see what's coming up. We've had this discussion many, many times about JD's contract, Goldschmidt's contract, getting rid of Tomas's contract. Greinke doesn't come up big in two games in Arizona in postseason play with that number. Is this it for him?
Well, I think that discussion will be had. I'm not sure if it's it. You've also got to look at the fact that he's due over $30 million for each of the next four seasons. And I don't think any team will straight up trade for $120 million over the next 4 years. The Diamondbacks would have to eat probably at least 40 of that, maybe more. And that's where Ken Kendrick, you know, would have to make that decision. I think clubs would be interested in listening to a discussion, a trade discussion. But in terms of that being it, there's so much more that comes into play, and the finances definitely play a huge role.
No, and I get that. And that's probably a poor question to ask on the day that he's throwing, but I do think it's fair that after what we saw last Wednesday, and if tonight doesn't go well, if he doesn't become Zach Greinke, superhuman Zach Greinke tonight for what they're paying him, then I it's all well and good between April and September, but I want to see results in postseason. And I didn't get them in any way, shape, or form last week.
Yeah, and that discussion, I think, will be made. I think that is a discussion that will be made should that happen tonight. But again, I mean, there's so much more that comes into play.
All right, Dodgers are going to go in the pool tonight. Dave Roberts says no, but can he really stop Yasiel Puig from being Yasiel Puig? Right?
Nobody can stop Yasiel Puig from anything that he wants to do. So that will be interesting to look out for. I would say no. I think that Dave Roberts is such a classy individual. He is going to do everything in his power to stop it. But there's just so much you can do with it, someone like Yasiel.
Okay, him wagging his tongue the other night, heard from a lot of Diamondback fans, not classy. Where do you come down on drawing lines? Is it Yasiel being Yasiel and you're just supposed to deal with it? Is it how he grew up? Where do you go on all this?
Well, I mean, you look at other players that grew up in Cuba. Jose Abreu grew up in the exact same town, the White Sox first baseman, and grew up playing at the exact same time, same teams. And Jose Abreu doesn't act like that. So it's not about where he grew up. It's about the person. And, you know, in terms of wagging his tongue, look, he's sliding into third. The Dodger dugout is right in front of him. I don't have as much of an issue with. He's just having fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any issue with a guy having fun on the ball field. You know, he just rocked a triple. He's looking right at his teammates. His teammates are all jumping up and down and really happy. So, you know, he just got caught up in the moment there. I don't see any – the tongue wagging, that's not an issue. There's been other issues with Yasiel over the years, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, to put it on his upbringing or his hometown, no, that's just who he is.
All right. And before you get out of here, what happens tonight? What are you expecting tonight?
It could be, you know, a quick exit for the Diamondbacks tonight. But, hey, look, in the grand scheme, if they do lose, Brad, if we had been having this conversation in February,
sure,
and said, look, they're going to reach the postseason, they're going to win the wild card game, but they're going to lose in the next round, I don't know that there's a Diamondback fan, player, front office person who wouldn't say, I'll take it. Because that's a huge step forward for this organization when you consider where they've been the last 5 or 6 years.
Right.
And they have been nowhere, not even winning records in the last 5 or 6 years. So it's an incredibly successful season. And should it end tonight, I think you have to look at the bigger picture.
They just haven't played well these first two games.
Dodgers really well in September.
Yeah, in any way, shape, or form, they just haven't shown up. That's the part that is mystifying.
Well, the lights are brighter in October.
Yeah, I got it.
And
you have
to get used to the bright lights. And look, when people look at the early Diamondbacks, you know, the 1999, the 2001 Diamondbacks, let's not forget, that was a very veteran club. And those guys all had postseason experience elsewhere before they got here. This is a group that is experiencing, for the most part, postseason for the first time collectively. And sometimes you've got to, you know, learn how to play in October before you can win in October.
You know, I got it. I mean, if I see Scherfy out there again tonight looking scared to death, I don't know. But that's just me. All right.
It's a big stage, and the brights are lighter than ever.
Yeah, you got it. Stay well. Thanks.
All right, Brad.
See, yep, there's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst insider. Whew. Come on. Just give me 2-1. Give me, you know, go be Zach Greinke. Jump out to a 2-0 lead like you did the other night and then just see it fritter away and get run over. That's not good. It's not. And Pedro's right. Sure, we're all sitting here from a media side. Yeah, I've seen a lot of bad baseball. From a fan standpoint, you've seen a lot of bad baseball. So you have to enjoy the moment. But there's also something about this team that's teetering a little bit. Eric was using that word with me this morning. We're talking about the Cardinals. We don't know. If Greinke doesn't pitch well, how do you go about that with all the other financial obligations coming down? They're not just coming down the road in a few years. Like J.D. Martinez is in 2 weeks. So it's going to go right from on the field to what happens around the hot stove. It just is. Right, we're going to circle back on some other college football that I didn't get into. The U of A basketball scandal is starting to really take its toll on Sean Miller, and much more as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. 16 airings per week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. I want to thank all of our sponsors for being involved with us. Without them, we don't do this. We are self-funded, so we appreciate their support. And now here they are. All right, so Eric was off last week, at the end of the week. Not off. He just decided to go to see his beloved Horned Frog. So TCU is, what are you guys, sixth now in the country? Something like that? You guys are getting up there in the polls, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter.
What do you mean?
just doesn't. The polls don't mean anything. I mean, the coaches poll, the AP poll, all of those are completely irrelevant. The only poll that matters is when the playoff poll comes
out. And you don't like those early playoff polls, if I remember correctly. You don't like the shows on ESPN.
No. I mean, it's just a ratings grab, but I get it. I understand it. It's just we're a week in October. The season's not even halfway over, so I'm not getting.
You've flown down to Dallas for two games now, right?
Fort Worth, yes. Dallas and Fort Worth.
Who have you seen?
SMU and last week West Virginia. And I went to game day on Saturday. That was really fun.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you hold up a sign?
Clearly, Brad was not on my Twitter timeline over the weekend.
No.
Oh, okay. For the longest time, you didn't even follow me, I think, for like the first 3 years that we had this
company. I can unfollow you after this conversation.
I like how we're just opening the can of worms and laying them all out here in
the
studio.
Did you hold a sign up?
I did not, but I did take pictures of signs.
Did you find the guy that gets the Washington Cougars, Washington State?
The flag was close to where we were standing.
I think that's so funny.
Yeah.
Every week.
And it was Lee Corso's 300th game day, so the people at TCU were pretty excited about that.
Did you see where Washington and Washington State are ranked in the top 10 for the first time since 1997?
Deservedly so.
And Chris Peterson was bitching about ESPN and late night games.
Deservedly so.
I would say he has every right to bitch about Pac-12 Network, but not ESPN.
It's different, Brad, because I got that experience firsthand over the weekend. I was in Texas. They're 2 hours ahead.
Right.
The Stanford-Utah game started at 9:30 Texas time, and I made it until about the start of the fourth quarter, and then I went to bed. It's just – it's a different – when you the late night starts, we think are bad. If an ASU game starts at 7:45 or 8 or 7:30, you can only imagine how as you go from the West Coast to the South to the East – I'm sure those TV numbers, as you enter different time zones, just slowly evaporate the closer you get to the East Coast.
It's funny how it works. I noticed ESPN did the BYU game Friday night.
Which was a horrible game.
It's a horrible game. It was a horrible game, but I found myself over there after the Diamondbacks were just a train wreck. And there were two things that happened. So the announcers had barbecue brought into them on the air, and they were trying a sandwich or something. And then I saw the same bit being done by ESPN during the Washington game on Saturday night.
I'm sure that's pre-scripted. When U of A played UTEP, the sideline reporter was eating Chile Verde tacos because it was 47-10 or something at that point.
But here's the other part that was scripted. There's no question now that's part of ESPN's script for a football broadcast. We're going to have food brought in.
It's okay.
But they had Larry Scott on. And Mark Jones, who you're not a fan of.
I like Mark Jones.
Who's his color analyst? Mark Jones the guy?
I don't know.
You're not a fan of the guy. The analyst. And he usually does Pac-12 games late. And he's been around forever.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Went to Stanford. The name is escaping me. So I'll think of it here in a minute, but continue with their story.
So they bring Larry Scott on. And the first thing that they go to Larry Scott on is, so these games at night. You know, I've got friends that are watching. They're texting me right now on the East Coast. Let's address this. It's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. So, first of all, there's no journalistic integrity at all. It's just something that's thrown out there. And Larry Scott's a smart business guy. He's been at the Pac-12 Network for a long period of time. And he gives the answer like, yes, our partners, they just love having us on late at night.
Rod Gilmore.
Yeah, you're not big on Rod Gilmore.
I am not.
Yeah, so Rod Gilmore's just laying it out there with Mark Jones about how great this is and having these late night games. And so there's no journalistic stuff being done here from my point of view. That's not how you start out an interview of, so this is really great, right, Larry? No, that's not how it's supposed to go. It's Chris Peterson said that this is not good for the network. What is your, for the conference, what is your response? Not, let me tell you what it is and we'll just get you off the hook. But people are writing checks, so forget about journalistic integrity. I just too Pollyanna, I guess. So they go on and on and on about how great the ratings are and all of that. Do I think Chris Peterson has a point? Yes, I do. Because to your point, you can't you can tell me, yeah, there's people in New York City that are watching us at 1 o'clock in the morning because it's New York City. How many people are watching? That's always up for debate. Chris Peterson went on a rant last week, and he had every right to go on the rant. I could go on a rant and say there's been this narrative of the conference should be protecting teams like Washington and USC to give them favorable scheduling because that's the only way the conference is going to have a team in the Final Four. Now, people may not want to hear that, but do you really want to put USC on a Friday night in Pullman, Washington, if you're trying to get the LA market to watch your games and have USC in the championship game, which, by the way, brings in $1 bazillion, versus, no offense, Tempe, no offense, Tucson, no offense, Pullman, and no offense to Corvallis, that's not going to happen. And, you know, putting Cal on late at night, yeah, it's the Bay Area, but Cal's Cal. You don't take Stanford and stick them in a bad slot. They played a night game against Utah. It's fine. That's part of the deal. I guess if it happened every week, I'd have more of an issue with where Chris Peterson was going. But it doesn't happen every week.
And I think part of the reason, too, Brad, that Chris Peterson sort of went off is if you looked at Washington's non-conference schedule this year, it's been horrible.
Yeah.
So when he is playing Pac-12 conference games, he wants the rest of the country to watch the games and not just watch the fact that they played Montana, Fresno State, and Rutgers in their non-conference.
So don't schedule them. I know you make the schedules that year in advance, break the contract, pay it off, go away. That happens. St. Mary's broke off a contract with GCU in basketball this year. I would have loved to have seen St. Mary's. St. Mary's didn't want to come here. It was smart. Smart. Write a check, move on. That happens in college basketball. It happens in college football. So with Washington coming here this week, part of my thought, not just on this show, but on the TV show we were talking about this morning, it's a huge week for Todd Graham. It just is. Anybody who's going to say, yeah, go Devils and Pitchfork and all that nonsense this week, no, this is a week where Todd Graham needs to show something. Boomcopters on Friday night are not going to get it done. This is a week. And I think he knows it. I may sound harsh towards him. I'm not. I'm just being very direct. This is a week where he's got to get it done. Jerry Jones and Mike Pence next. So I thought we reached the tipping point when it comes to anthem protests and show of display of protests by players. And then this weekend comes. And yesterday, because the vice president of our country decided to go to a game and walk out before the game even started because the 49ers are protesting, now it's back on the front burner. This morning, Dolphins head coach Adam Gase implemented a team-wide policy for players to stand on the sidelines during the national anthem. Players also have the option now to stay in the tunnel or the locker room during introductions. So now what's going to happen is guys like us are going to sit up there in the press box. We're going to have a pair of binoculars, and we're going to say, see, number this and number that and number this and number that weren't out there. And we're going to turn that into they're out there protesting. And I don't know where this is going to end. I thought yesterday was a political play by Mike Pence. There's no other way to put it. For us to sit at games to go get through the distraction, and then for guys like me to sit here on Monday morning and get notes from, why are you after this guy because he protested the anthem? Or, yeah, that's great that this guy protested it. You don't understand what type of oppression he may have been under. I don't. You're right, I don't. But that's where we're going now, is teams are doing their own thing. The president sends the vice president out, and he'll deny it all day long, but that's what happened yesterday. So sports in the news cycle could be talking about what a great game it was between Dallas and Green Bay, and it was a great game. Could be talking about J.J. Watt being gone for the season and maybe his career after the way that injury happened. We're not talking about that today. Could be going through Odell Beckham being gone for the season or Eli Manning being 0-5, and what are the Cardinals going to do long term? But instead, nationally today, it is once again in the NFL all about anthem and anthem protests, and it's going to continue. I don't see any way that it doesn't. We're only reacting to what owners and players and people on the other side of the aisle are doing at this point. I never thought I'd sit here on a Monday morning and use the words Mike Pence walking out of an NFL game. But that's where we are. Connie Hawkins passed away, the Hawk, and we haven't been together since that happened. Jeff Munn wrote something on Hawk. It wasn't just something. It was something really good about Connie Hawkins, and you can find it over on our site at sports360az.com. There's plenty of guys that we could have on the air to talk about the Hawk. I just know this. Connie Hawkins was one of the most interesting personalities, people that I was ever fortunate enough to come in contact with when I was doing Sun stuff and just in general. And the Hawk would come out to when I'd do the turkey drive back in the day. The Hawk would be in that space where he'd go out to events around town. And there was always something about the Hawk that was, I don't know, understated, even though that was hardly the case of the guy that I saw play on the basketball court. He was anything but understated, but in town he was understated. And his health had not been well for the last few years. And the tough times that he'd been under, people were very concerned about him. So read Jeff's deal. That's very good. And what Jeff put up there on that front. Lastly, U of A basketball. So it's never good when a high school player admits that they've hired legal representation. and that this U of A basketball story, I just have to laugh at this. And this goes back to ASU fans think I'm way too hard on the football team. And I should be really supportive. And U of A basketball fans think we're not being fair when we sit here and laugh, joke, and point out that every year they get eliminated before the Final Four. It's merely because I expect better, okay? When I have people tell me how great they are and then they're not good or they don't follow through, in sports we have way too much hype, way, way, way too much hype. And there's all this hype around ASU football, and they haven't done anything since Jake Plummer. Nothing. Don't give me Vegas Bowl and Sun Bowl and all these second and third tier bowl games. Even Holiday Bowl from where I grew up in San Diego. It's not a great bowl anymore. It's not. So you should aspire for greatness, not mediocrity. Mired in mediocrity is nowhere where you want to be, and that's going on with ASU football. U of A, really arrogant. Really arrogant. Okay, so there's people out there that are just loving this and seeing them get knocked down. I'm not one of those because this is an awful story. But I am one of those that kind of laughs and chuckles when people are like, well, what about our recruiting class? Guys, in the last week, you've lost basically everybody that was coming or considering. You're hoping to keep your class intact. This is the fallout. It's the fallout, too, of you not addressing it immediately. So Javon Quinterly is part of this scandal. He's like the main guy that committed to them back in August. He's hired legal representation now. This is not where you want to be. And Sean's got to deal with this. Sean's got to deal with who's going to move down the seat, who's going to handle the recruiting. Do you think it's any coincidence? Eric, did you see this? Georgia Tech extended Josh Pastner last week. Do you think that's any coincidence at all? In a total non-hiring cycle time of the year, do you think it's any coincidence at all that Josh Pastner gets extended right as this scandal is complete brush fire?
No, that's not just a coincidence. And you're right. We are in sort of, I don't want to say the dead period for college basketball, but practices have started, and it's just the early phases of the upcoming season.
And they're 3.5 weeks away from the early signing period.
Yep.
And they've had three kids that have said, no, we're not going there anymore. I don't want to be a part of a scandal. Bull, bull, go look at his comments. It's not good. So this is continuing. This is not going to – if you're one of those that just wants to get to U of A on the floor and say bear down and all that stuff, that's not happening. It's not because of us. We're merely reporting what's going on. Player is asked, what's going on? Are you still committed to U of A? I've hired representation. High school kid. Not good. Tomorrow, Peter King and Michael Fabiano. And, of course, we're going to react. I think Pedro's going to rejoin us again tomorrow, too, which would be cool. Eric Sorensen produces. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to our sponsors. Without them, we're not doing this day in and day out. Appreciate their support. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.